on the phone. For those of you here, just click those buttons or those links above the page here. It says Heavenly Places. It'll have the link for today, or just click the link that Brother Scott just put in the room. And we're in heavenly places. Whenever we gather in Christ's name, we're in heavenly places. So, but yeah, we're in heavenly places. What page is this? Page 220, if you actually have the book. And it's for August 1st. The title being, We Are God's Property. Starts off with Psalms chapter 100, verse 3. And it says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. You know, when I was a young man, I was in love with me. There's a lot of people that can relate to this, that were conceited. Well, I was one of those guys that just could not pass a mirror without saying hello. And when I became a Christian, it was dawned on me that you can't be conceited, you know, you can't. Even if they're not good looking, they're conceited, you know, they think they are. Like in my case, you know, I don't know if I was good looking, I just thought I was. But anyway, and even when you, like I said, you have certain talents and abilities, and you think you're all that. Or you're like some guys would say, I know my dad used to say this, and I used to be an entrepreneur too. I used to do my own thing. I had jobs, but I usually did supervision or managerial stuff, and I didn't like it because I didn't like dealing with an owner. But you had to pay the bills, so. But the term, I am a self-made man, was something that, you know, was echoed a lot in our house. And, well, at least by me and my dad. And I didn't realize until, of course, I started reading our Father's Word, our true Father, that, no, we're not self-made at all. You know, regardless of the fact, you know, like the cells and stuff, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him, yeah, that's okay. No brainer. Everybody says, oh, yeah, I'll just, you know, lay the hands down. Yeah, Christ made me. No problem. Yeah, I got that. But that's where it ends, they think. And that ain't the case. Not at all. So, it says, she goes on to say here, God has created man and given him all his faculties of body, soul, and spirit. The Lord Jesus has bought him, with a price so full, so ample, that there could be no competition. What can man offer to God that is not already the Lord's own? God gave the faculties, and every working of these faculties belongs to God. And this is the thing that always amazes me, too. And I praise God for this revelation some while ago, when you get hit with a major trial. And it can be scary, let's say. And your concern, if you're walking with the Lord, then you're not that much concerned because you know that it's his will. But, you know, sometimes you feel like you're not as good as you can be. But then again, that's we always are. If you're a true Christian, you're always trying to get to that next rung on the ladder. And so we strive on to that perfection because we know we are undone at this point. But we know that he sets up the paupers and he sets up the kings. And when I, you know, like, let's say I get this major, major, major trial, like I'm going through one right now, private, but something I never expected. And, but then I, the Lord, and it just, I like the way he does this, because when these kind of major situations come around, and he reveals to me the vastness of his glory, the vastness of his power, and the vastness of his love. And when I say vast, you ever see that video that I put on the website? It's on the main page. You scroll down on the main page, and right underneath that little banner that I put at the bottom of every single page, it says, check out this amazing video. And Dante, a brother in the faith, I don't know if he's in here tonight, but he's a brother from the East Coast. He sent that to me, and it's a video that shows the visible universe. And this, I say, is what they say. It's only the visible universe. And it's a big blob, if you will, a big circle of all these trillions, oh no, let's just say billions, hundreds of billions of galaxies, but then there are trillions of planets that can support life in those, life like us. I'm not talking about, you know, a primordial ooze that all the evolutionists seem to think we came from. No, I'm talking about human beings on these other planets that the Apostle Paul speaks of and Sister White visited in vision when she saw Enoch training a vine. But, on, you know, when you think about, and again, this is only the visible universe as we can see it as mankind with the Hubble telescope and the Voyager probes that we send out and that radio back to us. And how long it takes for that radio signal to get back to us is beyond me, but it's NASA's toys, I guess. And they've been able to see pretty far, the vastness of space. But when I look at that, yeah, it's an amazing video, ain't it, John? I mean, it just knocks my socks off. And it reminds me of a video I saw about a year or two ago that I put on a site, and I think I got it from wimp.com. And that video had what appeared to be about half as many billions and billions of galaxies, and again, trillions and trillions of planets. And this was only a postage-sized stamp of black matter, they call it, like an area of outer space that the Hubble telescope was never able to actually see anything in, so they always avoid those kind of areas. You know, like when you want to look at the Milky Way, you just look at it, and there's all this stuff, but then on the edges of it, there's just darkness. And you kind of zoom out, you might find another galaxy, but usually you don't, they say. Well, they decided to zoom in on this one area about the size of a postage stamp in comparison to what they were using on the telescope. And they just left the lens open, I guess, for 11 days. And how they do that when the sun comes up is beyond me, so I guess they shut it down for the sunny part of the day, and then when the night comes, they reopen it and train it on the same spot, because it's all computerized, it's going to lock it down. And what they discovered floored me, and that was 2 years ago when I saw that one, and that one was just, like I say, a postage stamp size of the universe that, unbeknownst to them, is literally filled with hundreds of billions of more galaxies that they never even knew existed. Because they train the, and see, that's like, again, it's that small little section. They haven't done, like that video that's on my site, they're just doing that with what they can see right now with the Hubble telescope. If they were to leave the telescope open over every square inch of the night sky for 11 days, then we would see the foreseeable, you know, the visual portion of the universe grow exponentially as to what mankind can see from Earth, right? And even then, it's just what we can see from Earth. This isn't what we could see if we were on planet Bleezeldoo up in the other end, you know, it's like 2 billion light years from here. You know, it's just, it's amazing the vastness of our Creator. And when you think about that, in the midst of what you consider to be a whopper of a trial, you think, okay, that's like a, you know, you can't even count the amount of people in one of these galaxies, and like, for example, in the Milky Way galaxy, because that's the one we're in. We're in the Milky Way galaxy. When you look up at the night sky in my neck of the woods, you see a cloud up there. It looks like a cloud, but it's not a cloud. It's just a bunch of stars and planets that are reflecting the light of those suns, if you will. And so there's trillions of people in this galaxy. Trillions upon trillions upon, like, say, a quadrillion trillion. A crazy amount of numbers, right? And when you look at that, you think about this Creator that we love. He's got that all handled. He's put that all in place. He's continuing to do that as well, because we know what's going on right now at the Orion Nebula. It's just a creation factory, if you will. At least that's how the scientists like to explain it. He's doing all that. And on top of that, he's counting the hairs on every one of your heads. And, well as the trillions of those heads that are in our galaxy, That's not counting the hundreds and hundreds of billions of other galaxies with the, okay, there is no number I can even use, the amount of people, okay? So they're all out there, and he's watching over every one of them. He's got it all handled. Everything's going to work the way he wants it to work. And you think of that trial you're in, you're thinking, okay, so this is what you want me to do. And then it just like, it was like, wow, everything just gets so much clearer and so much easier to deal with. It really doesn't bother you anymore. It's like, okay, Father, if this is what you would have me do, because he don't mess up. Nothing evil comes from above. If there's a trial, even if it's scary, it's because it's what he needs you to do at this particular time on this particular planet, if you will. And so, and he gives us those faculties that, like she's saying here, we got God gave the faculties, and every working of these faculties belong to God. So everything, even the inner space, like when you look inside your body and these little cells that are in your bloodstream and your flesh and your fingernails, your hair, I mean, it's just amazing how he's got control all over them as well. They're like little living beings. And so she goes on to say that this means that you can experience, or that your experience from first to last is to be yoked up with Christ. Learning the lessons of meekness and lowliness of heart makes you a partaker of Christ's sufferings and appreciative of the virtues of the life of Christ. There will be a constant prayer. Keep me by thy power. Let not my feet slide. Let not my heart be filled with ambitious plans to exalt myself. Teach me how to practice the art of self-emptying in order to be supplied with the grace of Christ and have that love Christ prayed that I might have as I have loved you in John 13:34. She says, I must receive grace that I may supply others with that grace. So yeah, each and every one of us are going to go through certain trials in our lives, whether it's to glorify him at the point of trial or to share our faith with those we meet during the trial or after the trial, even decades after the trial. I still share with people about stuff that I saw in courtrooms that I dealt with even before I was a Christian, and saw how those things fell into place later on in life for me. And even after I became a Christian and was harassed in certain ways where I ended up in courtrooms. And I saw his hand move there. And then, again, decades ago, and I could still share that with others. And this is one of the reasons he allows the blessings to flow, because if you share it with others, he's going to give you something else to share, because he can trust you to do that, do just that, you know. It's one of the reasons some of us have so many prayers answered, because he knows you're going to glorify him. So she goes on to say that, oh, give my soul much nearness to God, that I may receive a disposition and love my brethren. Help me, O Lord, to realize that I am of myself unable to do anything in its true, pure bearings. Self, self will be continually active for recognition, even in the very holiest of exercises. Our work individually is to copy the character of Christ, who gave his life to make it possible for us to do this or that, or this or that, or this or that, anything. There's so many amazing permutations onto what he has done for us and what we can do for him. And doing so will glorify him and bring more souls to Christ. Even if it means it's a very difficult trial, you know, like a sickness, or you know, going to prison for something or anything. It's just amazing how he can use us in every way possible. She says that, shall we find evidence to the world that we are children of God, bought with a price, and that we are bearing fruit in speech and tone or voice and in kindness of redeeming love, showing what it means to keep the commandments of God? I mean, how many of us, and myself included, I'm guilty of this, somebody gets in your face and you have a tendency to get back. You know, we've all done it. But imagine how powerful it is when someone expects an angry word, but instead gets a loving smile. You know, it really does affect the heart, especially for those looking on that want to meet Christ. And in today's world, there's a lot more of them out there than you think, because look around. Look at, I mean, I was thinking about making a video today just about some of the scandals that are coming out of the White House alone. Just to see that in modern times, where this president, because of political correctness and because every politician on either side of the aisle is so fearful of losing his job, won't step up and do the right thing, that this president is taking advantage of this and doing all these crazy and evil things, just that alone should open up the eyes of so many people to let them realize what time it really is. We are very close to the end. And then you got the present pope, well, the second present pope, Francis, you know, out there playing his ridiculous, he's just playing a part. He's an actor. I mean, look, just like the video I put up this morning, or was it last night? Yeah, I think it was last night, about him commanding, more or less. I should have just said it that way. I put it, he's asking us to deny Christ, or asking the world to deny Christ, but he's actually commanding his people and everybody under his thumb to don't share your faith. Let's just all get along, you know, and just, you know, hug each other and sing kumbaya. You know, they're trying to make the true Christian who wants to share their faith in Christ, like every true Christian is moved by the Holy Spirit to do, they're making it look like a criminal act, like it's going to bring war. You wouldn't believe the email I just got today, too, about this. A Roman Catholic sent me an email, and they put a post in the video, too, but I deleted it. I'm not going to let that kind of language be on the post or on the videos. But just the hatefulness and telling me that I'm hateful because I love them enough to tell them the truth to try to get them out of danger. And this is the way the world is. They are so wrapped up. These are the kind of people that are, they're not even going to, they may gnash their teeth, but I doubt they're going to weep. These kind of people won't weep. They're just going to be angry, you know, shaking their fist at God as they're burning in the last day before we walk on their ashes. There's a lot of people that are going to be like that, that are just don't really, you know, get it. They're very hateful, very angry. But we got to pray for them, because you never know. They might make it, and we'll have a nice friend for all eternity, but until such a time, steer clear, just pray for him. You know, you don't want to answer them kind of emails. Anyway, she finishes by saying, the grace given cost heaven a price it is impossible for us to measure. That grace is our choicest treasure, and Christ means that it shall be communicated through us. It is sacred, in the name of Jesus, to the saving of the soul. It is the revealing of the honor of God, an unfolding of his glory. And shall any man or woman professing godliness misinterpret the gift, ignore the giver, and present a substitute? That's a good way to end it. I mean, that's, you could end that with a question, because are you kidding? Why would you even consider doing something like that? But that is the basis of Catholicism. And here's another thing, strange thing, in that email I got today from that Catholic. Senator Yellen is screaming at me in an email accusing us, the true Protestants, from causing 33,000 different Christian denominations in the United States of America. I says, no, it's not us. It's your Jesuits. It's Catholicism, and it causes confusion. But that's the way Satan's always worked. And Satan was probably sitting right by that person's side as they were typing that email to me, laughing at the top of his lungs, just thinking, yep, got another one to do his bidding. You know, it was just too easy. It's so sad. But again, there are a bunch of people that are like that, and there are a bunch of people that don't want to live. Like, especially the types that have committed suicide over the years. You know, and then at the end of that 1,000 years, and they resurrect for a season or another short lifetime, when the option to die is on the table, well, sure, they're going to want to get into the tree of life and stuff like that, but when it comes down to the brass tacks, they're not really going to care about dying for all eternity. A good portion of them people, I wouldn't think, because they didn't want to live in the first place. They just don't want to be alive. They just don't want any part of it. Just get me out of the picture, you know. And that's got to bring a pretty good-sized tear to our Father's eye. But even that tear will be wiped away on that day. So, hope and pray you were blessed.